Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth broadcast coming to you from the studios here, Way of Truth Ministries, Altoona, Pennsylvania. This is Brother Fawn Miller, speaker on the broadcast, director of Way of Truth Ministries, and we'll share just a little bit about our ministry in a few minutes. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We're so happy that you've turned our way. Trust it'll be a real blessing to you. Again, our Heavenly Father, we just can only rejoice in the person of Jesus Christ. We're so thankful that you've sent your Son to be our Savior. Then not only to be our Savior, but you sent your blessed Holy Spirit to be our Comforter, our Guide. And Lord, today we're going to look into thy word about this matter of spiritual life in the church. And I pray that you'll give us good understanding of thy word. May the word find its lodging in our hearts. And then may we translate that into an everyday life pleasing unto thee. We give you praise and thanksgiving, for we've asked this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Walking in the blessed light of Jesus' love, walking every hour, walking every day, walking in the strength he gives us from above, walking with Jesus alone. Walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way. Walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus alone. Savior, keep me walking in the narrow way, walking every hour, walking every day. Save me from the tempter's fiery darts today. Save me, O Jesus, I pray. Walking in the sunlight, walking in the shadows, walking every day, walking all the way. Walking in the sunlight, walking in the shadows, walking with Jesus alone. By the river on the golden shore, walking every hour, walking every day, walking in the Savior's presence evermore, walking with Jesus at home. Walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way. Walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus alone. Jesus alone.
Amen. Are you walking with Jesus? I trust you are. We're going to be looking at Colossians chapter 1, so you might turn there. First of all, I wanted to share a couple of things with you regarding Way of Truth Ministries. I want you to rejoice with us that we are celebrating this month, and actually it's a little bit earlier than this in the year, but celebrating our 30th anniversary as a ministry. 30 years ago, we formed Way of Truth Ministries. Actually, it was in July, but until we had all the paperwork done, and then, of course, our schedule this year has been busy, and so we had to kind of shove it off toward the end of the year. But we're having our 30th anniversary this month, and we just would want you to rejoice with us. God has taken this ministry from just a simple, and I shouldn't say simple, but what I'm saying is a beginning with radio ministry, and has seen it enlarged to doing Bible conferences, and then adding on to it a children's ministry, a youth revival ministry. We were asked a couple of years ago to assume the leadership and directorship of the Central Pennsylvania Bible Conference, which, as far as we know, is the oldest continuing Bible conference in the country. We celebrate next year our 100th anniversary as a Bible conference. Now, we certainly didn't have it back there in 1920, but that's when it was formed, and some of the most well-known Bible teachers were here to speak at that conference, and it was one of those blessed things that, in a sense, has gone by the board when we think of the many Bible conferences that there used to be where great men of God spoke. And they spoke about the Lord. They spoke about the Word. They're faithful to the Word. Well, we have a conference here, and that will be next July, 2020. But we want to just share with you the fact that, you know, back in 2001, we brought into Way of Truth Ministries the Way of Truth Baptist Missions. Started with 9 missionaries, now over 40 units. In fact, it's closer to 50 units. And a unit is a husband, wife, and family, if they have. So we have nearly 50 units in West Africa and India serving the Lord faithfully. And we're just rejoicing in them. Most of those are, well, they're all national missionaries. We also have a military ministry that is being directed by retired full colonel chaplain Phil Kissinger. He lives in York, and right now, because of health and so forth, he's confined himself to 7 rest homes where military are, and has had the privilege of leading some of those old veterans to Jesus Christ, and just doing services for them and visiting them and so forth. So God has given that to us, and then he has encouraged men over in India and in Africa, West Africa, to start ministries to their military. So we have seen this expand, and God has been good, and we rejoice in him and what he has done in that matter of the military ministry. We have a trucking ministry that we have actively working in along Interstate 80, Clearfields, Lamar, and Bloomsburg here in Pennsylvania. And then we have ministries over in Northeast India, Southern India, and beginning one this fall in Ghana, up near the city of Nkoko, which is halfway between, and you look on a map, you'll see them, Accra, which is on the coast, and Kumasi, which is up in the center region. It's a straight road. There's not a whole lot of ways to go. There's a mountain road to go, but the trucks wouldn't go that way. And so this is and this Nkoko is about midway point. It's a good stop-off point. And a lot of trucks stop there. And so, by the grace of God, they'll begin having a ministry there in this coming fall. So we have these ministries. Actually, we're involved in many other areas. We have the radio broadcasts that we have, Living Truth and Message of Truth, and have a couple of other radio ministries, writing articles that we have coming out each month or every other month, and some others. God has given us an open door of ministry, but it's because folk like you pray. Folk like you give. You can't do work, I don't care what kind of work you're doing, without having to spend money. And you can't do it without people, as a Christian organization, without people really praying for you. So keep us in prayer, dear friend. And we want to be a blessing to God's people. We want to be a sounding board that those who do not know Jesus Christ might come to know him, whom to know aright is life eternal. And our verse of scripture that's kind of been the foundation is Psalms 119, 130. I have chosen the way of truth. And that's what we chose. Chose to do it and choose to do it right now. So take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, and we'll begin studying this matter of principles of the spiritual life. And actually, we're going to confine ourselves to chapter 1. And we'll do it in the next several broadcasts. But turn there with me and allow me to read some portions of Scripture. In fact, I'm going to read the intro, and that's what the first part of this chapter is. It's an intro to that spiritual life that we're talking about. And then we're going to primarily be looking at the latter part of this chapter to see how Paul relates to this church at Colossae, a very good church, a spiritual church in its own right, but one that, of course, had its own problems, as all our churches have today. This is a local assembly, and Colossae was a city where certainly there was a lot of false teaching and false religions, and yet this church is identified as a spiritual church, and we're going to see why. But let's go and read in our, just for our learning, the first 14 verses, and then we'll build from there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Now, let me stop there just a moment. Notice what he says, to the saints. You see, beloved, if you have called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a saint. There is no committee, no church, no founding fathers of any religious organization that makes you a saint. You are a saint by virtue of the fact that you have been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way one can become a saint. And you'll notice that in each of the epistles that Paul addresses the believers there in those churches, he is calling them saints. Had an old familiar evangelist, and if I didn't mention his name, some of you might remember him. He's been gone now for some time. But he used to say it this way, you are either a saint or ain't. And that's not good English, maybe, but it's a fact. You either know the Lord or you do not. There's no in-between ground. You're not almost a Christian. That's what the one king, you know, Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would that not only almost, but altogether and all that hear me. Well, Paul says here to the Colossians, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. Now, that's a key word there as well, faithful brethren. They are saints. And everyone who's been born again is a saint, but not all of them are faithful. Now, he said, which are in Christ at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ and of the love which ye have for all the saints, that is, those who have been born again, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. We'll come back to that. Which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful to every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, Paul, in this introduction, gives to us the foundation of the faith of these folk of Colossae. And by the way, this is the foundation of every born-again believer. There may be significant things that were done within Colossae that would not be or have not been in your life or in your church. And so there are certain things within our own ministries that are different than other. It doesn't make us more spiritual or less spiritual. It is a simple fact that God deals with people, individuals, in their own way. But notice the foundation. If we're going to talk about being spiritual, there has to be a foundation. And Paul said, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He declared that to the Corinthians. And he declares it throughout his epistles that Jesus Christ is the one through whom we have our stand in the Lord. You know, Peter gave great declaration to the person of Christ. And I think one of the standout verses in the book of Acts from Peter. Now, there are many. But one of those verses is Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, what Paul does in this first part of Colossians is that he directs their attention to where their faith is based. Now, you know, sometimes it does us good to rehash in our mind how God brought us to where we are today. There are a number of times that I've sat and just kind of, you know, studied, perused on the Word of God and thought how God worked in my heart to bring me to the place of salvation. You know, rarely has anybody ever come to Christ who did not hear the gospel on several occasions. Why? Because, hey, it's a profound teaching, and yet it's very simple. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. But you see, beloved, when you stop and consider, and I was looking back, you know, and just thinking about when God saved me, September 6, 1961, under the preaching of Dr. Oliver B. Green. But you want to know one thing, one of many, I'm sure, that kind of pricked my conscience. I went to Bible school. There was a dear lady in our community, very, very dedicated to Christ. And she'd gather up all the young people that she could in our children in our community. And we were out in the country. And she'd take us to Bible school. And we liked to go. Of course, at Bible school, they gave you pencils or ribbons or something. And so we liked those things, you know. And I'm sure that the Bible schools we went to, they taught us very clearly about being saved. Now, I didn't get saved then. Then I remember one time my gal who was going to be my wife and is my wife, we went to a Youth for Christ meeting. And a young man got up and stood there and gave the Word of God. And I'll never forget, he gave the Word of God forth and declared salvation in Christ Jesus. I didn't get saved then. I didn't call upon the Lord then. You know why? Because that young boy came to school every day with a Bible under his arm. And some of us real hotshot guys thought, boy, what a sis. You know, he has to carry a Bible. We men don't carry Bibles. Well, we weren't saved either. But you know, I'll never forget that young man. Someday I hope to meet him. I don't know. I really don't know if he's still alive or not. But I wouldn't go forward simply because, and I was convicted, so was my wife. And I wouldn't go forward because I wasn't going to bow my knee in front of him. Well, I would have been bowing my knee to the Lord, but I wouldn't do it in front of him. And I remember sometime, probably about 20 years ago, I talked with this man's dad and just told him, I want you to know, and if you ever see your son, get a chance to talk to your son and remember, tell him, I really appreciate the fact that he gave the Word of God out. And it's only by the grace of God that God allowed me to live. A couple of years later, I called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But you would know, my heart was pricked by Gerald Habacker giving the Word of God. And I've never forgotten that. And I'm so thankful today that he did that. I believe that softened my heart so that when I heard the message preached by Dr. Oliver B. Green, God had already been working. He started plowing into my heart, and it caused me to call upon the Lord. Now, beloved, that is the foundation that Paul is giving. Let's have our little refreshing song, and then we're going to get right back into this, and we'll be looking at this again next week.
Jesus for many years. He had been faithful with many tears. He had been shipwrecked, had been stoned to death, but he preached the gospel with every breath.
And after all of that, his prayer was,
that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that I may know him, being made conformable for kings. He had been faithful in everything, always abounding in gain or loss. His only heartbeat was Christ and his cross. And the fellowship of his suffering, that I may know him, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him, that I may know him. Served him on life's stormy sea, or yielded to Jesus. This is my plea.
And now, my prayer is
that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, that I may know him, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him, that I
Amen, that I may know him. Well, you see, that's what the Apostle Paul is doing with this church. Now, he's writing to the church. This is a local assembly. And throughout Paul's writings, you have Romans and you have Corinthians. You have Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. These are all churches to whom Paul would write and challenge them to live right. He wrote to Timothy and Titus and then Philemon, who had a church in his house. But he wrote to those two pastors who were pastoring churches. Paul would leave them in areas and say, hey, you know, establish these people. And then he'd call them to himself and he'd take these along on his missionary journeys. Then when you come to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, he's there because of his testimony for Christ. And God comes to him, the Lord Jesus Christ comes and tells him, John, I want you to write to these seven churches. And he declares those seven churches in chapter 1, 2, and 3. And he is to write to them that God knows them, that Christ is in the midst of them, that he holds the stars or the messengers in his hand. And these are individual churches. But I want you to understand something. Now, God deals with local churches. No question about that. I am a local church man. Our missionaries plant local churches. And they seek to get the gospel out. When they win some folk to Christ and they don't do the winning, I understand that. God uses them, and they use the word of God, they teach the word of God, they preach the word of God, and God saves souls. And these men have the joy then of establishing churches. So we believe in the local church. But I want you to understand something. When Paul writes here just a little bit later on in verses 17, actually 16, you could actually go back to 15. He talks about Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He's the one that rose from the dead. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principality or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Now, notice he's created everything we see. And we can look at that in many different ways. But I want you to notice something. He created the church. Now, I'm just going to read that, then we'll pick it up next week. And he is the head of the body, verse 18, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, Christ, might have the preeminence. Father, take your word. Speak to our hearts that we might know thee, whom to know aright is life eternal, and encourage every believer to keep on keeping on for thee in Jesus' name. My friend, if we can help you, contact us, would you please? You might contact us at WOT@WOTBM.org or email us at WOTBM.org. Or you can send us a letter, Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602. And we'd love to help you spiritually any way that we possibly can. God bless you, my friend.